Joe Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Richard Roper is still with us, and Mark Locke is joining us right now in the studio. He is a creative director for Saturday Night Live, the exhibition at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. This is a really, we're going to be out there doing our show in March, March 5th. We had a lot going on before then, but we'll get to that in just a second. But this is a really, really, really unique opportunity in Chicago to see this, that so much of the memorabilia from Saturday Night Live is right here. This is probably the best exhibition, I hate to say it, but it is true, in the history of the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And it is, it's the real stuff from the 500 years now that Saturday Night Live has been on the
feels
air.
Feels like
gosh,
it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. 1975.
Going back to King Tut, I think.
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Exactly.
Nicely
done.
Yeah. It's Meet the Press and Saturday Night Live are the two longest standing things on NBC.
That's it.
And it seems to me that this is an opportunity that you know, people, this has never been mounted before, this exhibition, right?
No, well, we had it in New York, and we thought it would be a standalone, and that would be it. It was 12 blocks from 30 Rock, and never before seen things. Saturday Night Live and Broadway Video, Lorne Michaels had never done an exhibition. Mm-hmm. They had requests from the Smithsonian, but things stayed locked up there at 30 Rock all these many years. Mm-hmm. But to celebrate the 40th season, we were open for 1 year in New York. And then it was so successful, we said, need to take this on the road. What's the first choice? Well, of course, Chicago with its connections, you know.
Right.
So something we're very, very proud of. Over 500 artifacts, sets that you can climb all over.
I mean, like the Wayne's World couch?
The Wayne's World couch.
I can't wait to see that.
Just go and pile right on it. It's not a behind-the-glass kind of exhibit, as you can imagine.
And it's very hands-on also because you talk about the behind-the-scenes process of SNL, which I think is super cool for anyone who's interested, your kids especially, who would be interested in that process of the writers to the production and those the big meetings they have and everything. You lead everyone through it.
Well, and it works out... it's such a, you know, sometimes you take somebody on an exhibition experience and they don't know what's around the next corner or when the exhibit ends. Well, of course, it ends, this exhibit, Saturday night, but it starts on Monday when Lauren meets with the guest host and the writers do. Tuesday, the writers go off and write on their own. Wednesday, the read-through is done. Thursday, incredibly, Thursday morning, the sets are built, wardrobe starts, hair and makeup starts. So it's this race to the finish line.
And the sets, as I understand it, the sets are they made on-site at 30 Rock, or do they do them off-site and bring them in?
Over the years, it's been changed a little bit. Now the shop is out in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, the shipyard.
Well, and that's where, when they go out and they do those, the week of, when they go out and they do the pre-recorded stuff they do.
Yes.
That's also there, right? And at Silver Cup, they do the...
Silver Cup is usually the studio used, unless they use the location. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's also starting on Thursday as well.
Right.
So
you wonder how they build these commercials that look like they take
very
months
impressive.
To do.
Especially late, right? In recent years, the production values of the pre-tape stuff is competitive
fantastic.
With anything, right?
Yeah.
It's really, really great stuff. But to see these, especially, I got really close with the set design department. And what's amazing about the crew, if you will, we all know the young cast, right? Mm-hmm. And they stay young. But the crew and the machine that is SNL, the 75-year-old set director, or the head of the set department, the lighting director, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, in his 90s.
Ooh.
I mean, a 90-year-old lighting director.
Right, and he was in there in his 40s when the whole thing started.
Exactly.
These are guys from, you know, the Dave Garraway years on the Today Show, literally, that worked like at NBC, that have worked there that long. It's a really cool exhibit, The idea that you can, like, you know, I'm one of the 8 million people, like, the picture on the Wayne's World couch is great. And the notes you can see, you know, notes to Bill Murray, you know, or from Bill Murray.
Yep.
The props, you know, the chocolate donuts that John Belushi powered to Olympic victory. You know, remember the box? They were like, it was like a Wheaties commercial, but they were little chocolate donuts.
The Bass-O-Matic.
Yeah. All of that stuff is there.
Bass-O-Matic
really cool.
Is there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It really was a labor of love. You know, I had the pleasure, especially in this town, of doing the King Tut exhibition at the Field, the Titanic years ago at the Museum of Science and Industry. Always had a very special spot in my heart for this town.
Uh-huh.
Oh, those are fun, if you will, exhibits to be part of, but imagine hanging out at SNL for the year. I hung out pretty much the whole 40th anniversary to create the exhibition.
Well, things like, you know, in show business, props are props, right? And they get reused or misused or abused or lost. And in some cases, some people see the future and they steal them. How was it possible that the Bass-O-Matic was still, which was just a blender, but how was that still around? I mean, how did they, do they curate these things?
Well, I don't think I'm speaking too much out of school. I think when I went and we said, we're doing an exhibition. Well, I think I have this. I think the church lady set is somewhere in that hamper on the third floor of the, you know, there wasn't a lot of that kind of organization. The wardrobe department in recent years has started to curate and to catalog, like you said. But many things were found, like I said, cardboard box. Hey, look, I found one of these.
Incredible,
you know,
right?
And it kind of
land
fits.
Shark.
Yeah. That's how they found King Tut's liver. I remember they found it in a box somewhere. Thank you very much. Yeah, right. I know that you did that.
That was the beauty for the crew. And I felt most rewarded doing the exhibition for that team that puts it together every week all these many years, because they're very much respected, honored, and recognized in this exhibit, and things they brought together of a real labor of love for them as well to bring this thing, the whole exhibit together.
That's great.
Yeah,
and it's here in Chicago, and I don't know where it's going next. I don't want to think about it, but this is it.
It's here for a long time, though, right?
Yeah, until the end of the year, which is we opened in October.
Nice.
To be open to the end of this year is the longest exhibition stay that I've ever been part of. But because of SNL's connection to Chicago, it makes sense.
You know, I got to shout out somebody here. It made this actually really possible for Chicago is Larry Wirtz.
That's right.
Who, the longtime executive at NBC, now runs the Tribune operations here, Tribune Media operations.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spell that? I should know this guy. Is it L-A-R-R-Y?
Yeah, he's a bit of a force of nature here in Chicago. Yeah. But he worked tirelessly to be able to, you know, the Museum of Broadcasting Communications it should be here in Chicago because it's been so important. Chicago's been so important to broadcast in the nation.
Yeah.
But it's had, you know, leaner years, and now to bring this here, you know, makes the statement that this really is an important feature in the landscape of broadcasting. It's a tourist attraction, and this particular exhibit is so special to people generations, because, you know, it's like grandkids are now, you know, grandparents are talking about the time they saw, the first time they saw John Belushi pull out a samurai sword.
That's right. Yeah. Gosh. And to see, it's one of those, and I was a little surprised at this, where you see three generations going through together.
Yeah.
Grandparents, parents, and children. Yeah. And the grandparents, you know, if they're in their 70s and
80s. They all have happy memories right there in that building.
Exactly right. And to your point about Larry, he just was incredible to make this all happen. Yeah. The whole staff at the museum just was very committed. We've taken two floors of the whole space there. Like you said earlier, the biggest exhibition ever done there. Mm-hmm. And also things
beautiful
like space. A full-scale recreation of home base. I mean, when you walk into the last space and it's Saturday night and Tina Fey hosts this special edition of Saturday Night Live, I promise you feel like you're at 30 Rock, the toughest ticket in New York, you know? With all due respect to Hamilton, you can't buy tickets to SNL, right?
I know. Well, you get the rehearsal show or the show. I was very lucky to have seen the show a couple of years ago live. And it is you cannot believe how they put it. You're lost in it while it's going on, and you have to go back and watch it again.
It's true.
Because when you're seeing it, because it's a blizzard of activity, and when you're thinking, okay, now when you get into the space, you're like, my God, this is so small. How are they able to do this?
That's right.
Like all of television. And yet, like the Weekend Update is at home base. It's right in the center. The band would be right behind where they're doing, you know, Weekend Update, and they're moving stuff around. And it's just, it is, and the performance space for the music is the size of this desk.
It's incredible.
Essentially.
Yeah. But
it's
amazing. Looks great on TV.
Totally.
That studio was originally built for the orchestra, the NBC orchestra. So when they first fit SNL in there, it really made no sense.
Right.
But 43 years later, it's making
seems
all the sense
working.
In the world.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Great job. And thank you for your contribution to all of this. King Tut thanks you, for God's sake.
Yes.
Well, he's still around, by the way.
The convergence of Steve Martin and the real King Tut is a strange thing.
What a career. You should write it. You should have a coffee table book, my
full circle, Mark.
All right. Mark Locke, go see the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Right now, Rob Martier is going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news.